Hello, St. Georgians near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. On our 15th day of our Year of the Bible Challenge, 15th, and a very important, a significant day for this little adventure we're on, because today is our last day in the book of Genesis. So if you have read Genesis 47 through 50 already, then you have completed the first book of the Bible, one down, 65 to go. It'll, be done in no time. So there you go. Pat yourself on the back, because we are well on our way. It also means that we are at the end of the Joseph story. Now, we already had the climax of the Joseph story earlier, when Joseph revealed himself, when he recognized his brothers and then revealed himself to his brothers and that kind of thing. And so that was good. And then the brothers went up to Canaan and brought Jacob, their father, back down to Egypt, and they hugged, and that is great stuff. So that's the end. Now we get kind of the denouement and its own kind of anticlimax, maybe. I don't know. It ends kind of bittersweet. So let's look at it just for a second. Before we get there, just Jacob dies. He's old and full of years. And note that he gets all 12 of his sons with him, and he gives them all his paternal blessing. Now, if you are Jacob, paternal blessings are something that you have spent a whole lot of time thinking about in your 130 years or so. Because, of course, Jacob and Esau, their whole fight that very nearly came to blows, if not worse, was about Jacob stealing Esau's birthright and so forth from him, from their father Isaac. So that's a big deal. I just think it's interesting. I think it's interesting that he has a little something to say about all 12 of them. And one of them is kind of the first among equals, but there's a little something said about all of them. Now, two of them, to be fair, Reuben, don't get as much love there. But let's see, who was it? Simeon and Levi, because the weapons of violence are their swords. But anyway, it's just interesting to think, what is Jacob thinking about as he's passing on this paternal blessing? Is he thinking about him going to his own father on that sort of ignoble day that he went to his own father and deceived him, premeditated deceit to get his own? Who knows? But Jacob does that. Jacob dies. They take him to Canaan. They take him back to Canaan because he wanted to be buried in the promised land, and so he was. Then they go back to Egypt. So it's all 12 of them back there in Egypt. The 11 brothers are being shepherds and everything. Joseph is still an important guy. Joseph is still very important. And so the 11 other brothers, didn't say anything about Benjamin. I wonder if it's only the 10 of them. Go to Joseph and say, "So, hey, man." They start to worry. Actually, they don't go to Joseph. They go to a messenger, and they say, "Go tell Jacob. I'm sorry. Go tell Joseph that our father Jacob told Joseph before he died that he needed to forgive his brothers and like not kill them, right?" So he has them, and so the messenger goes, and the brothers are maybe like, watching through a curtain or something, a half open curtain or something like that. Joseph starts crying. All right, so let's just look at this sort of, just imagine this. Look, they're lying again. Right? They are lying again. There is no reason to believe that Jacob. So first of all, there is no reason to believe that Jacob had said that, right? They're lying again because they don't trust in the sincerity of Joseph's forgiveness. And so they figure, let's go invoke our father and maybe he'll listen to him, because maybe maybe that forgiveness from before was for Jacob's sake. And now that Jacob's not on the scene anymore, maybe now he's going to take it, maybe he held his hand back just out of respect from Jacob. He didn't want to make his life worse than it already was. And so maybe he's not. And Joseph starts weeping, right? Joseph, why does Joseph start weeping? Look, so A, they're lying, right? And he knows that they're lying. But also, you know, they're admitting what they did. That's a good thing. All the evil, that's good. But it shows that they don't believe in the sincerity of Joseph's forgiveness. And so they don't believe in the sincerity of Joseph's love for them, right? Of his fraternal love for them. They don't believe it. They don't believe it. And so Joseph says, look, you did this evil for me. Let's get it exactly right. It's important. Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good. Forgive the crimes of your brothers. Now, please forgive the crimes of the servants. Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to do harm to me. God intended it for good, so have no fear. And this way he reassured them. So Joseph had that forgiveness in his heart, but they didn't believe it. And they so didn't believe it that they came to him with a lie again, right? But Joseph had. What does this sound like to you? Right? What does this sound like? To me, you know, knowing that the story of Joseph and the story of Jesus have these, you know, residences, right? Have this, there's this foreshadowing, right? The best thing to do is not to BS about what the crimes have been, right? About what our own sins have been. Best not to go and say, you know, evil, what evil, you know, but rather to go bring yourself warts and all to the Lord, and that you can trust in God's forgiveness. You know, the brothers did not trust in Joseph's forgiveness, and so they lied, and Joseph forgave them anyway, right? Joseph spoke kindly to them and said, I'll take care of you, and I'll take care of your little ones. Isn't that precious? I'll take care of you and I'll take care of your little ones. His forgiveness was for real. And even in the face of further sin from the brothers, nonetheless, his forgiveness, his mercy went all the way down. And so it is with Jesus, right? So it is with Jesus. You bring yourself warts and all. The best thing you can do is just tell the truth. And that's why, you know, when I talk about prayer, and sometimes people say, oh, you know, you should pray for the good things. You know, don't pray for, you know, I hate the idea, don't pray for XYZ. The only thing I would say don't pray for is don't lie about what you really want. God already knows what you want anyway. God knows you better than you know yourself. God knows what you need. Just say what's true for you, you know? Like, who cares? Like, bring yourself, your actual self to God, understanding that God's forgiveness and love for you, love of you, is for precisely you, not some other version of yourself. There is no version of yourself when it comes to God. There's just you, right? There's just you. In this case, the brothers, right? The brothers who had this idea that they were going to kill their little brother, right? And then decided as an act of mercy to throw him in a pit, sold him to, you know, Ishmaelite, Midianite traders, and off he goes. What happened, happened, and it can't be unhappened. And you can't lie about it because it's just the truth. You certainly can't lie about it. So just tell him. Just tell God what you want and what you need. And if you want to be different, then, you know, ask him to help you be different. But if you want a parking spot, pray for a parking spot. You know, if you want a job, pray for a job. But also know that even the things that you're praying to be delivered from, right? So say you don't have a job, we'll say you don't have a parking lot, parking spot. Even the things that you're praying to be delivered from, God will use for good. Joseph says to them, even though you intended to do harm to me, right? So Joseph said what is true. He didn't say, oh man, it's no big deal. Like, you know, like sometimes, hey, things happen, bro. Like, no, he does not. He said, even though you intended to do harm for me, said a truth, perhaps a painful truth, but a truth, you intended to do harm for me, but God intended it for good. God intended it for good. Because if they had not done that, right? If they had not thrown him in the pit, he would not have ended up in Egypt. He would not have been, accused of inappropriate behavior by Potiphar's wife. So he would not have been in the prison. And so then he would not have met the baker and the cupbearer. And so then the cupbearer wouldn't have called him in front of Pharaoh to interpret the dreams. And then so Pharaoh wouldn't have put him in charge of all the things. So he wouldn't be able to have that position where he could do the seven years of plenty, 7 years of want. So he couldn't have provided for his family, for his father and his brothers. So Israel would not have ended up in Egypt, so that they then could not be taken out of Egypt by the time they're only 12, you know, the 12 brothers and Jacob, and then Jacob's no more. You know, and their families and little ones. You know, 400 years down the road, they'll be different. They'll be much bigger. How much bigger? I don't know. Hundreds of thousands that get led out of Egypt. All of those things, in a sense, depend on the murderous actions of those brothers. You intended to do me harm, right? So he just says the truth. You intended to do me harm. But God intended it for good. And so whatever the situation that we find ourselves in, that we want to be delivered from, you know, it's not to say, actually, it's no big deal. You know, it's not to say, like, you know, things are bad off, you know, because sometimes we are bad off. Sometimes we are, right? It's not to say, oh, it's no big deal. No, it is a big deal. It is a big deal. If somebody's trying to throw you in a pit, right? That's a big deal, and it's bad. It is bad. This is not an excuse for bad behavior. But it's to say, you intended it for evil, but God intended it for good. That, you know, at some point down the line, here we are 3,000 years later, you know, 2,500 years later, you can look back and say, man, if that thing hadn't happened, if they had not thrown me in the pit, if my brothers had not hated me, because they did. They had hate for Joseph in their hearts. If they had not hated me, the people of God very, very well may not have been. We couldn't have saved it. It was an essential part of this whole unfolding of God's providence. You can trust in God even in the situations that someone intends for evil, right? You can trust in God even in those situations that seem utterly unredeemable. Because look, for those brothers, all that time, look, there is no redemption, right? Like there is no, they think that there is no possible redemption. Jacob certainly feels like there is no possible redemption for the loss that he feels. And then look at them there at the end. Are they new now, the brothers? You know, as chapter 50 closes, as we turn the page from Genesis to Exodus, they have experienced what forgiveness looks like, right? They have experienced what forgiveness feels like. They have been the recipients, shall we say, of grace. We have been the recipients of divine grace. And we can trust that the God who saved Joseph, you know, and looked over Joseph and brought good out of evil, is also looking over us and, you know, bringing good out of evil for us. Last thing I want to say about this. So we're finishing the book of Genesis right now, and that's a good thing. We're going to go into Exodus. Genesis and Exodus, there you go. Two dramatic, amazing books full of stories about God's actions in history, the mighty acts of God that have been about redeeming and restoring and, you know, protecting the people of God. Let's not forget those, you know, right? Like, I don't just mean like, let's not forget them as we go along in our year of the Bible, but let's not forget them in our lives, that all of these things have happened, and they are happening, even if they can't be seen right now, and that they will happen, because the covenant that God made with his people is not a temporary one, but a forever one. So that's all I want to say about that. Great stuff. Congratulations on getting through the book of Genesis. One down, 65 to go. Let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Happy reading. See you in 400 years. We open the book of Exodus.